الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أكل طيبا وعمل في سنة وأمن الناس بوائقه دخل الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is only the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat, through His ihsan, through His fazl, He has allowed us to be present for yet another auspicious day of Jum'ah. This day of Jum'ah is so sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in one hadith it is mentioned it is even greater and more meritorious than the two Eids. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jum'ah. Respected elders and friends, in this world, we find that people, they place value, and they have value for different things. Let us take the example of a car, a person who purchases a car, and when this person purchases and he buys this car, he has it in his mind that I am going to look after this car in such a manner that when the time or the day comes when I want to resell this car, then I must try to get the maximum of the resale value of this car. So if this person has this kind of value for his car, then he will go to every extent and he will try his utmost to see how he can maintain that car to the best of his ability. If he has to maintain something in that car, he will see that he doesn't use pirate parts, he will get the parts from the agents. Like that for the engine, he will see that how he can use the best quality or the best oil that is available. And similarly, if there was or if there is an oil that is harmful to an engine, then he will see that how he will abstain from using that oil. So much so that even if that oil has to be cheaper, then too he would be prepared to pay those few extra rands to buy the better quality of the oil. And such a person, even if someone has to give him that oil for free and for nothing, then too he won't be prepared to put it because he knows that this is harmful to the engine of the car. Now this is with regards to the interior of the car. So such a person similarly, when it comes to the bodywork of the car, then also he will be extra cautious and he will see that how when he drives, he is extremely cautious and he watches out not only the way he is driving, but he will see to it that no scratch or dent is caused to that car. Because he knows when he will go to an agent to sell the car, then the person will look for faults and he will see that this scratch is there or there has been bodywork done on this car. So like that, because the person has value for this car and he wants to get a good resale value on the car. However, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had much more value. But his value were not on the material things of this world. Rather, his value and his concern was for the iman of his followers, and his concern was how that each and every ummati of his can enter into Jannah without any difficulty. Because the best and the greatest ni'mat and the most complete ni'mat a person can get is entering into Jannah without any difficulty. Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala who mentions that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard a sahabi making dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka tamama ni'mah, that, oh Allah, I'm asking you for the most complete ni'mah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him what he meant by this, and he replied that he thought that it was wealth, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew the attention of sahaba to what is eternal success and what is the best ni'mat. إِنَّ مِن تَمَامِ النِّعْمَةِ دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالْفَوْزَ مِنَ النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that the best and most complete ni'mat a person can ever get is his entry into Jannah and being safe from the fire of Jahannam. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Allah Ta'ala also makes mention in the Quran Sharif that that person who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and he has gained entry into Jannah, then this is success. Mullah Ali Qari mentions that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this, it is meant that a person will enter, alhamdulillah, if a person has iman, then whatever shortcomings he has, eventually he will go into Jannah. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah ta'ala speaks of entry into Jannah, then they are speaking of ibtidai and Jannah, entry into Jannah at the very first instance. Therefore Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like how when we would take precautions and we will look after our material things, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being Jawami'ul Kalim, his mu'jiza was that he would say very few words, but he was very comprehensive. That in a few words, if a person had to take the lessons and the nasihat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given, and if he had to implement it in his life, then this person will gain eternal success. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given us a very short formula, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions three things, which if a person brings it into his life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions dakhal al-jannah, such a person will gain entry into Jannah at the very first instance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions man akala tayyiban wa amila fi sunnatin wa amina an-nasu bawa'iqahu dakhal al-jannah. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the person who will eat halal. Let us take this first point that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, that person who will ensure that no doubtful morsel goes down his system, this is the first quality. Now why is this so important? The link between one's a'mal, it is to one's heart. We know that famous hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, "Inna fil jasadi lamudghatun," that in the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is correct, then the entire body, the limbs and the actions will also, that will come out from there, will also be correct. But if that is contaminated, and if that is corrupted, then the actions also will be likewise. This hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions it after mentioning, in another long hadith of Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu, "Al-halalu bayinun wal-haramu bayinun wa baynahuma mushtabihat." That halal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, halal is clear, haram is clear, but between these two are things that are of a doubtful nature. فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبَهَاتِ, that person who will abstain and will save himself from those things and from those doubtful areas, then such a person, he has preserved and he has saved his deen. That is how important it is for a person to ensure at all times that what he eat is halal. Like how we mentioned in that car, a person won't allow that oil which is harmful to the engine, he won't allow it to go down into that motor car. Why? Because he knows it is harmful to that engine. Similarly, these imani engines, this engine of iman that we have within ourselves, if a person has to consume haram or anything that is doubtful, then this will have a direct effect on a person's actions. Allah Ta'ala mentions, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum." In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala mentions, "Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha." That eat that which is halal and wholesome and do good actions. Showing us the link that if a person will consume that which is halal and that which is pure, then automatically he will feel inclined towards good deeds. One wali of Allah Ta'ala, he mentions that once, by mistake, some doubtful, or perhaps it may have been haram food, had entered into his system. He mentioned that for 40 days after that, he felt the effect and he felt in his heart the inclination towards sin. To understand this better, that how can just one morsel of food have that effect that a person will be inclined towards sin? It is not necessary that a person will commit sin, but that inclination will be strong and it will be difficult for a person to restrain himself. Like how if a person is driving on a road and if he has to hit some pothole that is very bad and the alignment, because of that the alignment goes off, automatically after that when a person is driving, he will be able, with some effect, with some effort from his side, he will be able to maintain the car on the correct road, on the correct path. But if he has to leave that steering, automatically the car will veer to one side. Why? Because of that one pothole, the alignment had been upset. Like that, if a person haram has to go down a person's system, similarly, automatically that alignment of his iman will also become tempered with, and now a person will find that automatically his heart will be inclined towards haram. Another harm of this is where a person, when he has to commit any kind of, if he has to consume any kind of haram, then such a person, no matter how much of ibadat he will make, no matter how much of tilawat he will make, how much of dua he will make, Even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer such a person's dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. And Allah only accepts that which is pure. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers with the very same command that He has given to the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Allah Ta'ala commands the Anbiya alayhi wasalam to eat that which is halal. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in another ayat, Allah Ta'ala commands the believers with the same thing. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. That eat that which is halal. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to make us understand the harms of eating haram, he explains to us, and he mentions to about a person who he makes a very long journey and he takes a very long suffer. And we know a person who is a musafir, his du'as are readily accepted. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even goes on to describe such a person that his hair is disheveled and he is dusty, because in those days a person used to travel by conveyance of either mounts, etc. So a person used to get dusty. And these were signs of a person being very humble. And this kind of sight is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such a person's du'as are readily accepted. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي. And this person, he lifts his hands to the skies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making du'a, O Allah, O my Rabb, making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَهُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. That his food is haram, his drinking is haram, his clothes are haram, and he has been nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, how can ever such a person's dua be accepted? Because of that person's consuming haram, although he had everything that was in his favor for a person's dua to be accepted, but because he wasn't cautious of what he consumed, that is why his dua was not accepted. When we say a person must eat halal, it does not mean that a person can use, for example, a person can use some haram wealth, like incest, and after that he buys something that is haram, and he feels that he's eating haram. No. If a person goes and he steals the most halal chocolate also, and after that he eats that, no one will say what he is eating is halal. It is haram. And incest, like how we mentioned about in the motor car, that if someone has to give him such an oil that is very cheap and it is dangerous for the engine, if a person has to give it to him for nothing also, then also a person won't be prepared to use it. Like that, sometimes a person has money in the bank, the interest that he is receiving, he is getting it for nothing, there is no effort from his side. But still, he should understand it, that how detrimental that is for his iman, and it can be a means of a person going into the fire of Jahannam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, once his slave had come to him and brought some food to him, and it was the habit of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to inquire as to the whereabouts and how the person had come to the food. But at this occasion, it so happened that he partook of that food and he ate it. Then that slave asked him that you did not inquire how I had come by this food. And then upon inquiry, he mentioned that no, in the time of Jahiliyat, he used to do some fortune telling, and those people, they had given him this food when he was passing by them in lieu of that fortune telling that they had done for them. Upon this, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala became perplexed and extremely worried. And he began to try to vomit it. But because he did not have much in his stomach and it was difficult, he began to take water, and eventually after much effort, he vomited that morsel of food out. So the people had asked him that, why did you take such pains to remove this morsel of food that was doubtful haram? So he mentioned that I have heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that that piece of flesh which is nourished by haram is destined for the fire of Jahannam. This is such a serious thing. If a person has to consume something that is haram, automatically it will have an effect on his action. So this is the first thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that a person, man akala tayyiban, a person who will eat halal. The second thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wa amila fi sunnatin, that person who will live his life according to the shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every facet of his life, he sees and he finds out that what was the way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conducted himself. That in this particular instance, in my business, etc., how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say I must run my business? Such a person, this is the second quality, that after ensuring that everything that he eats is halal, He sees to it that how at all times he follows the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, each and every believer has a certain amount of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the criterion and the level of love that is required, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentioned, "Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani." Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person who will claim to have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this will be manifested in his love and his following and emulating the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the greatest reward a person can ask for, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, "Waman ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." That person will follow my sunnah and that person will have love for me, then he will be with me in Jannah. So the second thing is, when a person will bring his life totally according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an environment of the masjid, in an environment of some dini atmosphere, then this is easy because everyone is practicing. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَعَمِلَ فِي سُنَّةٍ, a person, even if he is in an environment where the norm of the people is not conducive or conforming to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then too such a person must make an effort that how he will make amal on the sunnah. We know the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to negotiate on behalf of the Muslims. We know what must have been going through the mind of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu at that time, that what is he going to say to them, what will be the response of the leaders of the kuffar. So when he went and the Muslims were waiting, so the person that was escorting Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw that the garment of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was above his ankles. So this kafir told Hazrat Uthman, "Araka mutakhashi'an," that I see you are dressed in a way that is not conducive to the people that you are going to meet. Uthman radiallahu anhu gives us a lesson here, and he tells that person that this is the way of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I do not care what you think, but I will not leave it for anything in this world. Showing us that even if a person is in an environment that is not conducive to the sunnah, there is no need to suffer from an inferiority complex, but a person should make amal on the sunnah. As they say, when in Rome, do like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in every way a person should see that how my life is according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the second thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that if a person has these two qualities, and the last one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَأَمِنَ النَّاسُ بَوَائِقَهُ, that a person, people are free and are safe from any kind of harm from him, whether it is verbal, whether it is physical. This third thing is such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us how to preserve the first two things. The first two things were pertaining to hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where a person will be in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing that he is doing all the good actions. But now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us to be cautious from throwing water over all this by fulfilling the rights of everyone. Because if a person, he can do how much of ibadat, perform how much of salah, etc. But if he has wronged anyone in any way, whether monetarily, whether physically or verbally, then we can understand this from a hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will come with a lot of salah, a lot of zakat, and a lot of sawm, etc. But shatama hadha, wa khadafa hadha, wa safa kadama hadha, that this person, he had slandered someone, he had verbally abused someone, he had shed the blood of someone unjustly, and different things a person had done of oppression to other people. So what will happen? فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, that this person now, from his good deeds, it will be taken and it will be used to repay those people who he had done wrong to. So much so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further to mention that if this person's good deeds have to become depleted, have to finish, then the evil of those who he had wronged or who he had slandered or spoken ill of, that will be taken and put onto his shoulders until this person will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah ta'ala save us. Just to go over those three things again, man akala tayyiban, the person ensures that no time any haram goes down his system. The second, wa'amila fi sunnatin, at all times he sees that how my life is according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And lastly, he sees that how people are safe from his harm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi, that a person will not be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Meaning that how you will like to be treated with kindness, fairness, etc. Like that you will treat those that are beside you and your brothers, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.